first is the corporate ministry pursuit. We're entering into the life studies of Matthew, messages 23 and 24 this week. Anyways, may we continue to enter into the life studies. And I've mentioned this before, I feel like personally I need to also read if I'm going to give an announcement. And for your encouragement, I'm actually very behind. I'm still in Matthew chapter 3. But I just enjoy this morning that the Lord's pathway is from Galilee to Jordan. From a despised place to actually a place where he will be terminated, but then germinated. Amen. And so this is actually our destiny, right? We shouldn't think that we'll be well respected, but actually our life is just to be terminated in his death, but then raised up in his resurrection. Amen. And so this is something wonderful. So anyways, brothers and sisters, you might be on target or you might be behind like me, but let's just continue to press on to enjoy the life studies together. This week's prayer meeting is going to be 8 p.m. on Tuesday in the different prayer meeting locations. I don't know, David, if we're ready to announce where the in-person will be. Maybe he'll pull it up. For the next announcement, this is wonderful. Sister Ma Ai Dong was baptized this past Lord's Day. And then these two sisters, Jocelyn Mi and Chloe Dang, they were baptized yesterday. Amen. At the Piscataway Meeting Hall after the gospel meeting. May we continue to pray for them, that that the Lord will bless their Christian life and church life. Amen. And may we also continue to pray for all the friends. I don't know the numbers. Maybe somebody could give it to us. Quite a few came last night to the gospel meeting. It was very encouraging. So let's continue to pray for them so that we could also have the proper follow-up. The next announcement is regarding the 2023 Northeast Summer School of Truth. The registration is open. You can find this on pursuewiththose.org. Maybe I won't read all the details, but this year the topic will be on life. And both the high school and middle school registration is open. So please, please, please register before July 10th. So that's coming up. Especially also for the serving ones, the college students, the other serving ones. Please register on time before July 10th at pursuewiththose.org. And then you can find the details in the newsletter. The 2023 Chinese-speaking perfecting training will be at Anaheim, California, July 26th to the 30th. And the topic this year is the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem. The deadline for Zoom is 6:30, June 30th, and in person at KPCC, the deadline is July 20th. Okay? P7 and Highland Park are scheduled to serve food, so we're not on this. And I think that's it. I just want to point out something for this week. This is on our newsletter. Sister Anna, she among three others, Anna, Nancy, and Phoebe, these three sisters are graduating this term from the full-time training in Anaheim. And so Sister Anna actually wrote us a letter. I encourage you all to read it. This is in the newsletter. But just for our awareness, their graduation meeting will be this coming Saturday, both in person and online. So, of course, for the ones who can't go in person, you could find the details on the newsletter. But basically, you just go to ftta.org, and you can watch the webcast. Okay? So we encourage you to stand with our three sisters to pray for them, pray for their future, and the Lord's leading for each one of them. Amen. I think that's all the announcement we have. The young people are... Who's with the young people this morning?
Maybe before,
quick update. Yesterday, we have 16 new ones signed the sign sheet. And at least I know one, a friend didn't sign, so we have definitely more than 16. And of course, including the two young people baptized yesterday. And so very encouraging. Half of them leave their response, and all very encouraging. I think at least two say they pray and receive the Lord and would like to have further contact.
Amen.
And also there are two say, I would like to receive Christ, but I still have some questions. Mm. And there are four saying, I would like to meet during the week to read the Bible.
Amen.
And also other good response. So let's continue to pray, and may the Lord continue to work Himself into each one of these prayers. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I just wanted to strengthen this burden for the 2023 Chinese speaking perfecting training. I know you know, this is the English speaking meeting, but if you can handle Chinese, right? You know, the meeting is actually available either in person in Anaheim, or in KPCC through live streaming, or locally, you know, through the streaming. But all these three method, whichever you know, format that you're taking, you need to register. So this, I think Shepherd has already announced the time is let's see, it's July 26th through 30th. So that is the dates, July 26th through 30th. So and the registration is due on the 30th of this month. So after the meeting, we'll actually set up some computers, and saints could actually, you know, just log on and, yeah, if you, yeah, just register, yeah. So, yeah, I think the topic is the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem. So it's concerning the application, but then there's also the aspect of interpretation of New Jerusalem. So one is knowing, right? One is really have getting into the truth of the New Jerusalem, and then how do we really apply it? Right? As we all know, New Jerusalem isn't just coming, you know, from nowhere, right? It is, yes, coming from the heaven, but it's actually the New Jerusalem is actually being realized today, practically in the church life. So I believe this will be a very rich speaking for this conference. I don't know if there will be English translation or not. So, but anyway, you know. You know, if you can attend, yeah, definitely encourage saints to participate. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
The in-person prayer meeting this coming Tuesday will be at the brother's house.
Oh, really?
So feel free to come.
Amen.
Amen.
We're on week five. If you have it, week five, can we just all turn to it and look at the outline? Let's just read the title together. If you don't have it, you can share with whoever's next to you. One, two, three. Ezra, a priestly scribe, and the need for Ezra, those skilled in the word of God. So, clearly, this topic of this week is centered around technically two main things. One, who is Ezra? What type of person was he? Why was he important? But the other is, it's funny, there's the man Ezra, but then there's the need for more Ezras.
Yeah.
Those who are skilled in the Word of God.
Amen.
So this outline, or this whole message, brings out this point. Like, there was once this man Ezra, whom the Lord was able to use in a great way. But now, there is a greater need for more Ezras today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think one big point here is like, actually I ask myself, why did the Lord need Ezra and Nehemiah if, with just, you know, Zerubbabel, Haggai, Zechariah, they already returned to the good land? They are, because Ezra and Nehemiah, they're the books on recovery. They were in Babylon, and they were brought back to Jerusalem. They even rebuilt the temple, they built the altar, they did everything. Then why is there the need for Ezra and Nehemiah? I think the Lord's trying to show us it's not enough just to merely be brought back to the proper place. But I mean, praise the Lord, we're brought back to the proper place.
Yes. Yeah.
But there is another great need. And that need is that God wants a corporate testimony. He wants a people who express Him. And that's not enough just to come back to the place. There's a need to be reconstituted, to be purified, to be built up. Mm-hmm. John, I'm going to ask you a question. This is something that actually blew my mind during the message. You're pretty familiar with the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, right?
Not really.
Okay. Percentage-wise, how much do you think those two books talk about this matter of purification and constitution? Out of 0 to 100%.
43.5.
The brothers were sharing. That's actually a really good guess. More than half of Ezra and Nehemiah talk about this matter of purification and constitution. I think that kind of, more than 50%. Like, really? Like, you think that it's more about, you know, trying to return, building the wall, fighting this or that. Actually, most of it, the majority of it, is talking about purification and reconstitution. When the brothers spoke about this during the message, it really just hit me like, wow, this is such a great need. Back then, and even especially today, because they came back, they had a whole 70 years of just Babylonian culture just wrought into their being. And not only that, a lot of them had married foreign wives and had even had kids, mixture all over the place. So it wasn't good enough that the Lord brought all these ones back to the good land. I think we know this phrase, right? They got out of Babylon, but Babylon didn't get out of them. So that's why there was such a need for Ezra and Nehemiah. And that's why the Lord needs Ezra's today. So then we get into this. So I think we're a bit more impressed. Like, why is this so important? Because, let's just remember, it's not enough just to come back to the proper place. We're meeting in the local churches, we're meeting on the proper ground. We're in the right place. We even hold to the common faith. But that's not enough. The Lord needs to reconstitute us, to purify us. And thankfully, the Lord has given us the way. And what is that way? It is to be reconstituted with the Word of God. But if it was that simple, then there wouldn't be a need for Ezra and Nehemiah. But the reason why we need Ezra is because we need those who are skilled in the Word of God, even those who are priestly scribes. So I think I've made my point regarding why this is so important. But I just want to drill on this phrase, priestly scribe.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's actually, if you really think about it, it's a kind of a strange phrase. Because a priest, you know, is a priest. A person who serves God, who contacts God, who comes before God, brings God to man. That's one person. And then a scribe is a person who is very familiar with the law, with the scriptures, with the Bible. Someone who can write very well. But you rarely see those two words put together as one phrase, a priestly scribe. But that's exactly what type of person the Lord needed at that time, and that's exactly what the Lord needs today.
Amen.
So the brothers just kept digging into this point. Like, what? Like, we cannot have one without the other. You can't be priestly without being scribal, and you can't be scribal without being priestly. In today's terms, it means you can't separate the Spirit from the Word of God.
Amen.
You can't overemphasize one over the other. If you do that, you quickly fall into error. You can quickly be led astray. But I think as the saints kind of bring out this matter, I know a lot of people will have a lot to say about this message, but I just really want to bring out this point that this matter of being constituted with the Word, with the truth, it's not a quick and easy matter. Because like I said, as I was asking Sean, more than 50% of those books are about this matter of purification and constitution. So clearly, this is not something that could be done, you know, overnight. Maybe, you know, obviously, coming back from Babylon, that was no easy feat. There was a lot they had to fight. They had to go through many different things. But compared to this matter of being constituted, it was easier, in a sense. It was not as hard.
Yeah.
But this matter, I was really impressed. There's a need to pay a price. There's a need to pay the price of time, even our energy, even our concentration, just many different things.
Amen.
So I just want to touch in just just really quickly, this matter of being priestly, I think if we look throughout the whole outline, we see this matter of being mingled with the Lord, being saturated with the Lord, being someone who trusts in the Lord. Even later, we look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Not just merely understanding the Word, but receiving revelation of the Word, having the veil taken away, being convicted, being corrected, being instructed in righteousness. There's many different things. But this doesn't happen overnight. This is something that requires our daily exercise. To come before the Lord, to spend time with Him, to touch Him, to be touched by Him, to be convicted, many different things. But I think the last but pretty major burden is this matter of actually getting into the truth,
right,
being constituted with the truth. And it doesn't sound very spiritual. It just sounds like, oh, we're just here to like study, just to get educated and this and that. Yeah, actually, because 1 Timothy 2:4 says, our God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
That's His desire for every single one of us. So no one can say, oh, God never told me I needed to be constituted with the truth. The Bible makes it very clear. He wants every single one of us to be filled, even saturated with the truth.
Amen.
So then, anyways, I'm sure many saints can bring out this matter, but this is something that's not very spiritual, but if you see, I think Brother Lee was mentioning, it's not enough just to read, even to listen, just to merely attend the meetings, just hear this or that.
Amen.
Right.
Because that just becomes an inspiration. Something, oh yeah, that sounds really good. That was good. And then you forget a week later. And then it's like, nothing happened. But if we take the time, I'm speaking to myself, to get into the truth, to even study it, to get it into our sober mentality.
Yes.
Now, we don't just exercise our spirit, we even exercise our sober mind.
Right.
To let the truth get into us. And when that happens, the truth is no longer just a temporary inspiration that disappears the next day.
Right.
It becomes a long-term nourishment that sustains us for the rest of our lives.
Amen.
And even becomes the very cargo, the supply by which we can feed others and minister
Amen.
To others.
Amen.
So, anyways, there's a lot to say, but I think I just want to reiterate. Number one, the Lord desires a corporate testimony.
Amen.
And because of that, we all need to be purified and reconstituted with the truth.
Amen.
And because of that, there is the need for Ezra's, those who are priestly scribes, those who are skilled in the Word of God. So anyways, I'll just open this up and pray that there will be much to share about this matter.
Amen.
Amen.
So this week, let's continue entering into this message. How about that? That'd be good, Peter. So the opening pointed out two things, the Word and also the Spirit. Let's point out a third matter. The third matter, so the opening also emphasized the priestly scribe. So we can translate the word priestly scribe into the word fellowship. A priestly scribe is, so Ezra 7:6 says, this Ezra, skilled in the law of Moses. Skilled in the law of Moses. And then, that day one talks about three things. Being a prophet, being a scribe, and being a priest. The main point, the main emphasis of this week is to be, we need to be, just like the children of Israel, we need to be reconstituted.
Amen.
So that means in simple terms, Ezra was such a person. So he bore, it says in the Morning Revival, he bore the heavenly, divine constitution. He bore it. So he could be one who was qualified to reconstitute the people. So that's what our charge is. We need to be the same. to be constituted so that we bear the heavenly constitution, the heavenly divine constitution, so that we can be those same kinds of people. So Ezra was a priestly scribe. He was skilled in the word, so there's also, we need to spend time in the word with the, if we only spend time in the word, we'll probably be like everyone else on the earth, thinking that the Bible is just like the teachings of Confucius. We need to study the word together with the life studies and the footnotes and the cross references, even the outlines. So we need to, you know, reading is different than studying. If I ask a student, how do you study? They'll give me lots of detail. So there's lots of effort and touching things again and again and again and repeating. So we have such a term as PSRP. So this is the complete definition of our studying to be reconstituted. So not only do we need we need to understand what we read. So Ezra 8:8 and 8:13 have two marvelous phrases. They came to Ezra and he read with the people in the book. They were reading. But what was their purpose? They wanted to gain insight. They came to Ezra for insight into the Word of God. Insight means intrinsic significance.
Amen.
How about that? Can you get the intrinsic significance just by reading in a casual way? No. You can't enter into the intrinsic significance of the Word of God in a casual way to gain the insight, to gain the intrinsic significance. You have to spend, he said in the day six, Brother Nee and he and Brother Lee spent untold amount of effort and time to be constituted with the truth. I'm almost done. So that, let me just conclude this way. Let me explain that. So again, we need to be those that are mingled with the Lord. We're saturated with the Lord. We're constantly in fellowship with the Lord. Constant. This is to be a priest. This is the kind of person that Ezra was. And he was skilled in the Word of God. That qualified him. So there are the three ingredients. There's the Word, there's the Spirit, and there's fellowship.
Amen.
So the Word could operate in Ezra. When the Word operates in us, like let the Word dwell in you richly in all wisdom and so on, that's the Word operating in us. Hold on, Manny. The Word needs to operate in us, and then the Spirit imparts the very nature of God into us. So we're not only a people with the knowledge of the Bible, we're a people with the God Himself saturating our being. That makes us a priestly scribe. So we have inspiration, not only inspiration of the Spirit, we have the intrinsic significance of the Word. And we can speak this intrinsic significance in a natural way. And then listen to this. So the elders are charged to teach the truth. That's their main responsibility of the elders. So you might say, oh, I'm off the hook. No, you're not. Because Isaiah 49:6 says that you'll be my servant to raise up the tribes of Judah. And Brother Lee says about raise up. That means like parents raising up their children. They just infuse what they are into their children. Excuse me. So that means almost every one of us here in this room is a parent, or will be a parent. That means that every one of us has the responsibility and the charge by the Lord to be Ezra's. We all can be Ezra's. We all should be Ezra's. We're all commissioned and charged by the Lord to be Ezra's. So we need to be those that are spend our time, spend our energy to study the Word of God with the life studies and the footnotes and the outlines. The outlines are even more crucial. Anyway, but then not only so that we can gain the intrinsic significance and it can enter into our, we can understand. If we don't understand, the truth is not getting into us. We need to understand with our mind. But we also need to be the people, the priestly scribes,
okay,
that use our spirit. And we're filled so the Word can operate in us and the Spirit can saturate us with the divine element. So we're not only people with studying with our mind, but we're people using our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, to become the one with the triune God, to be priestly scribes. Not just scribes, but priestly scribes.
Amen.
And then we're reconstituting in the way of parents raising up their children, infusing one another. So, John, doesn't this sound like we need to get together and read and pray, read and study together and recite together and prophesy? Today we're prophesying. Prophesy together. Don't we need to do these things to reconstitute one another in a parental way? Like, you parent me, you know, we're all charged to be like this and do this kind of thing.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. The people of Israel, when they came out of Babylon, like the brother said, did Babylon come out of them? And we are, I think, in the same condition.
Exactly.
If Babylon came out of us, see, the Lord God is pure, holy. We are not pure. And that's why the Lord needed Israel. He could purify people because Israel was pure. He could teach the people because he was educated in the Word. He could reconstitute the people because he was reconstituted. So that's why the Lord needs Israel. And see, Jeremiah said when he found the Word, he ate them. In Matthew 4:4 says, may not live by bread alone. We not live by bread alone, by every word that come out of the mouth of God. So when we come to the Word in the morning, and this I'm talking to myself too, we use I just read sometimes the Word just objectively, right? Well, I need to go to work. I'm not really eating the Word subjectively. See, we need to eat the Word in a way that we can not only eat it, but digest it and assimilate it. Sometimes I want to read a lot, and we don't need to read a lot. We, with one portion only, a small portion, we can meditate on that Word, and that could really touch our spirit. So we really need to be, you see, in the Old Testament was scribes, equivalent to teachers now in the New Testament. There are too many teachers. There are many people who have knowledge. We have a lot of knowledge. I believe many of us have so much knowledge of the high truth and mystery of God in Christ. But the Lord doesn't need really knowledge, objective teachers. He needs priestly teachers. Those ones who are with the Lord, one with the Lord. And the only way to be like Ezra is to be one with the Lord, to repent every day,
And as the word says, have to be profitable with the word. The word has to be profitable. And if it's not profitable, you really only reading dead letters. So we need really to come to the Lord, confess, and be convicted, and tell the Lord, Lord, we repent. I repent because I'm not absolute. I always fail. I don't come to your word the way you want me to come to your word. So we need to really be reconstituted. That would be the only way the Lord can use us. See, there are two kind of teachers. Those ones who teach objectively, preach the word, but they don't live the word. But those ones like Ezra, who teach, you know, purify, reconstitute, because he was one with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So this week is, you know, particularly on this person, Ezra. Right? He's very unique. He's a priestly scribe, right? And we all know that a scribe is very skillful, right, in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, first, he was, right, using his whole time and body. You can say he's a full-timer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every day he doesn't do anything, but in the old days, they actually have to write. They have the copy, you know, it's all manuscript. So he's very familiar with the Word of God, with the Law of Moses. But then he's not just very skillful in what he's doing. He was also the one that was a priest, right? What does a priest do? Priests contact God, and priests also contact man, right?
Amen.
Priests bring man to God, also bring God to man. So first he has to be this one that's really so be saturated with God, right? As this is like the New Testament or Lords of Recovery kind of language, right? In the old days, he would be the ones we know that, right? He would always be praying before the Lord, really be living a righteous living, right? According to the Law of Moses, right? He will be that kind of person. So he is very capable in terms of at that time, particular time, to you can say his ministry was the reconstitution ministry, right? You know, think about the Israelites. You know, what are these people? You know, because they have been in exile for 7 years, right? And then when they were brought back to Israel, to the Holy Land, most of these people are probably born, right, in Babylon. You can say these are actually so-called Israelites, but they're actually really Babylonians, right?
Yeah.
So I think this can really draw a lot of parallel line with us, right, today, you know. When we're reading the history of the Israelites, we really read the history of ourselves, right?
Yes.
We were all saved from the world, right? We all have the Babylonian concepts, and, you know, we trained, right, many years, right? You know, most of us have college degrees, some, you know, master's or PhD degrees. So many years we'd be actually be trained in the Babylonian concept, right? Actually, we were reading Zechariah, right? We say these visions that the Lord has given to Zechariah, some, you know, the last three visions were actually negative visions, and the visions were actually concerning some of the negative issues that the Lord wants to judge, right? So one of the things was that, you know, they were actually judging, the Lord was judging the Israel people, they were also judging the nations, and really revealed to them, they're actually full of sin. They're full of these, you know, commercial kind of Babylonian concepts, right? And these people were back, you know, they were actually brought back to be a testimony of God. But guess what they did, right? In Haggai, these people were back, they don't care about God's building. They just care about their own house, right? They were, you know, care about their own living, their own family, you know, building up their houses. So the Lord has to raise up these prophets to really call them back, right?
Amen.
And then, you know, not only just to call them back, because the prophets speak to them, will give them inspiration, will stir them up. But then, as our brothers shared earlier, it takes a long time, right? It's not inspiration itself or just stir them, their whole being up is not enough, right? They really need to be reconstituted with the Word of God.
Amen.
So this is so important, right? Today, You know, we all been brought back to the church life, right? You know, the place, you know, the Jerusalem. But then today we need to be reconstituted. Amen. So in fact, this week and next week kind of go together. We need to be reconstituted. We also need to be purified, right?
Amen.
Purified of all the things that, so one is losing, right? One is gaining. So yeah, praise the Lord, really speak to all of us. I really feel that we really need to get into the Word. Right? Not just to getting the inspiration. It's very good that we read the Bible, we get the inspiration, right? We get the strength, right? And to go on. But then we also need to spend time, right?
Yeah.
And Brother Lee said, every day, a day, spend 2 hours. I was like, oh Lord. Maybe when I was preparing for the spiritual food for the Friday meeting, I may spend that much time, you know, maybe even longer. But every day, 2 hours, Lord, I mean, actually, I may be arguing with Brother Lee. Don't you know I'm so busy every day? I have my work to do. I have a family to take care. But amen. This is what our brother have, right? Set the goal before us. So we just pray before the Lord. Lord, really, you know, give me all wisdom so I could really, you know, spend time in your word. Amen. So I can be constituted.
Amen. Today's message.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm quick. The risk talk about, as you say, the Ezra was not a letter script. It's a priestly script. And B, he says, he's a skillful. Only Recovery Version translated skillful. And King James and Darby translated ready. For this Ezra is ready and skillful. I got to talk to the history again. Because 536 before Christ is the first group return. There was Zerubbabel and High Priest Joshua. Okay? That's 536. And the second term is Ezra. You can see the Ezra chapter 7, 457 before Christ. Is it how many years difference? 79 years different. It's not the yesterday and today, okay? 79 years. The second group, Ezra, come back. That's a 79 years. And the last one, Nehemiah, that's a 12 years different. It's a 445. So this is a couple generations already. This is not the original, the captivity over there. There's a couple generations already. I just saw my Esther bring the Ezra, my Ezra. I think he got a problem. He doesn't want to go to school. You know, you born in the captivity, that old, the little one, they don't follow your direction. Right. Even those people, the slave, the captivity, they never touched the Hebrew before. So when the Ezra preached them, Ezra teach them, it's the original Hebrew. Okay, they take it back. So he didn't read the other book, the scrap, the priestly. He only used the Moses the book. That's very meaningful. Mm-hmm. Amen? Moses book. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, our brother, he was speaking about Ezra being a priestly scribe. Right, he was skilled in the Word of God, but the priestly scribe is what really qualified him to reconstitute the people. You know, it's like all of us, when we come from the world and we come into the Lord, you know, we come from the world and we have all these habits and all these ways of thinking. So when we come in, that's just the initial step. We really need to be constituted by someone who's mingled with God, which is what a priestly scribe is. And our brother, Brother Scatterday, spoke this section that one of the characteristics of a priestly scribe is that they have treasures, and that these treasures, they have them in, you know, in a place where they can just draw them out whenever they need them. And he compared this in Matthew 13:52. It says, and the Lord Jesus said to them, for this reason, every scribe, disciple to the kingdom of the heavens, is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasures new and old. And so, you know, he encouraged us to write things down when we hear things that strike us, that are, you know, that touch us. that we should put them in our store, that we should have a store, and that we should be able to reach out in that store. The things, you know, at least we need to know where they were, and then we can go, I could look it up in this scripture, right? And so we can know where to draw the things that we need, because it's the Word of God, but the Word of God needs to be mingled with the Spirit. The other brother, Bob Danker, he said, you know, many of us, you know, we like the Spirit without the Word, or we like the Word without the Spirit, but they have to go together. Amen. And that's really the difference between, you know, a letter scribe. It says that the letter kills, but right. The Spirit gives life.
Amen.
And so we need both. So, you know, I love to write, so I have all these notebooks, but I need to reorganize them so that I know where to find what. And you know, we should never rely on our memory,
yeah.
Unless you're young. Then you can rely on your memories. But you know, so that when you get older, you know where to find these things that you that are just the treasures. Those are the treasures of the Word of God that has been assimilated, the Word of God that has become spirit and life. You know, the Word of God is living and operative. And sharper than a two-edged sword, right? We know that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. So it's the Word of God mingled with the Spirit that actually brings life. And these are the treasures that we bring forth.
Zephaniah 3:9, it says, "For then I will change the language of the people into a pure language,
Amen.
That they may all call upon the name of Jehovah to serve Him with one accord." You know, this is a timeline of the minor prophet, that the Jehovah, you know, He punished the Israel people, also the nations, but in the end, He promised, Jehovah promised, He will save the Israel people as well as the nations. And, you know, to change their language, actually, to change their culture, to change their composition. So, you know, in order to speak a language, you need to have a certain culture, right? You need to have a certain, like, composition. So when the Israel people, they brought back to Jerusalem, they were not real Hebrew, right? In culture, they are still Babylon. Some of the children, they're like young people, they even cannot speak, like, good Hebrew, right? So, because they don't have that culture, so that's why we need Ezra to reconstitute them to have the Word of God, the Hebrew, so that they can speak the Word of God. So, so now I'm learning how to speak the Word of God, and you know, to learn a foreign language, first of all, you need to learn some vocabulary, right? You know, my mother tongue is Mandarin, but you know, in Taiwan, like in my grandparents, the age, their mother tongue is actually Taiwanese. But in my generation, I kind of don't know how to speak that because I don't have enough vocabulary of Taiwanese. And my third language is English. But you know, it's an international world right now. You know, all the students like in middle school and high school, we learn the vocabulary of English. So my English is better than my Taiwanese. And right now, my first language is the words of God.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
But recently, I kind of have the opportunity to speak, like, to have an opening or conclusion. But sometimes I feel short because I realize that I don't spend enough time to study the logos, right? The logos, the word of God. So that when the Spirit comes, I don't have enough words to speak. I don't have enough vocabulary to cooperate with the Lord, with your rhema. So I'm so encouraged that we need to labor at the same time in the Word of God, so that when we speak the language of God, we have enough vocabulary to speak to the saints.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Ezra 7:6 says, "This Ezra went out to Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses." I really appreciated the point in our outline, because many times when we hear about Ezra and Nehemiah, I mean, at least myself, I feel like I'm not prepared
or I'm not like them. Generations are different, and I feel like it's much harder for us today. But one of the points, just really cancel that thought, raised is that Ezra did not spoke nothing new. So Ezra was not trying out there to figure it out, like, oh, how can I retranslate this? How can I make this better? But on the other hand, he was just speaking the law of Moses, which was already written. So in the same way, we do not have to go and try to find new things, try to discover new things. But the word has been written for us for our enjoyment. And actually, we were singing this hymn earlier, hymn 811, which speaks about on the studying of the word. And there was a fellowship that I remember that I had with a brother that was saying that the word feeds us inwardly, and that the word, the way we feed, is just in a life that is living. So many times, if we want to see, it says that the concern for these generations is that we may accumulate a lot of knowledge, but we might not accumulate life. And actually, the shortage of our life in our Christian life comes from the not drinking and the not feeding. And we need to realize that a personal prayer, which is in stanza 7, comes from our personal drinking. And the drinking and eating comes from the word. And just in the same way as the famous saying that says you are what you eat, in the same way, if we are those who only socialize with those who are not eating Christ or those who are not eating the word, like Esdras and Nehemiahs, then we might be those who are short. So I was just very encouraged that we can be those Esdras and Nehemiahs. And I personally feel like I'm short when it comes to the word. I often want to set up my desk, set up my favorite markers, my pencils, and just kind of like highlight and really dive into things. But I really don't have time to focus on the outward way, but just to come and enjoy the word, right? Just to come and read it and receive something from the Lord. So just like, you know, when the second return, Ezra realized that there was a lack, right? That they needed to be reconstituted and re-educated. But we need to be like Ezra, who was instantly, but also consistently in the word of God and being one with God, so that he was filled with the word of God and saturated with the word of God that he was able to teach. And one point on day one said that there's many people that can acquire much knowledge, but then they can talk all about it. And I consider myself to be one of those in certain aspects. But it says that that does not mean that they're that kind of person. So I'm just, you know, really looking forward for the Lord to just continue to grow in us. And also that we will be those who can speak the word of God because we are constituted with the word of God, and that we can teach others because we are one with God. And just to touch a little bit on what Jerry shared in the opening, this is not just a personal matter, but it's also a corporate matter. The Lord wants to gain a corporate testimony. And the last thing is that the greatest need is that we must be met is to bring the saints into the Lord's recovery, into the true, to carry the recovery on. So may we be those who abide in the word, drink of the word, feed on the word, that we can be reconstituted and be able to be built up with the body, not just personality.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Joe shared earlier, we see the first wave of returning the children of God, they rebuild the temple. But it's until the second wave, Ezra come back, and we see, you know, there's the possibility, you know, to reconstitute the children of God with the truth, the word of God. But if we see, we read this
these two books carefully, we will see actually even after the rebuilding, the third wave of returning, the rebuilding of the wall, that coming the real, the reconstitution of the truth, the word of God, and the purification of the children of God among them. And so, in other words, without the reconstitution of the children of God and the purification of them, the recovery is not complete. And so, it's not only the building of the temple, it's not only the rebuilding of the wall. Actually, what God wants is the reconstitution,
right,
and the purification. And in the Old Testament, we have this physical temple building, physical building of wall. But in this New Testament, actually, the reconstitution and the purification is the building of the house of God. It's the building of the temple of God. Mm-hmm. Without reconstitution, there's no building of a house.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel actually this today when I'm hearing my brother Tom sharing, I feel this morning I have the same burden what he just shared. You know, we may not be Ezra, today's Ezra, as Brother Ron Kangas. We may not be like Brother Ed, right? Or Brother Rick, or whatever. Those speaking brothers supply to the whole body of Christ. But today, the Lord need many Ezras.
Yeah.
This
Amen.
Many Ezras, mm-hmm. at least we can teach our children. At least we can teach in our small group, or we can teach at the church. And the Lord really needs many of these Ezras today. And may we all really, you know, Ezra become Ezra, not just for one day. We don't know how many days he actually spent in reconstituted himself.
Right.
He can become a skillful scribe, right? Mm-hmm. Skill at word of God, and also he has subjective experience of the word. He can dispense the word in a priestly way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he spent, his whole life. And today, in order we are be able to like him, today's Ezra, we need to spend time from our youth, when we're very young.
Right.
Not only just prepare for, we can prophesy in the prophesying meeting.
Mm.
Brothers, we have been participating in this exercise, right? Sometimes some brothers, we take turns every few weeks. We exercise, stand up to share the introduction or the conclusion. And at those weeks, we may spend more time to prepare. But that is not enough. The Lord wants us, no matter whether you are speaking or not, like Ezra, he spent his whole life before he is able to speak, to teach to the whole children of Israel. He spent time day by day to learn the word of God himself.
Amen.
So one day when the Lord need him, he's able to teach.
Amen.
May we all have this aspiration.
Amen.
We spend 1 hour, 2 hours, I don't know,
Amen.
Or at least 30 minutes every day on the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Matter of the Ezra being a priestly scribe, not just a priest, but also a scribe, so skillful in the Word of God, that, I in the denomination, Saint Jim, you read this verse in Revelation. It says, and it's chapter 1 in Revelation, verse 5 and 6. It says, to him, referring to Christ, because and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the father, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. And then verse 6 it says, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. So at the time of our salvation, when we first saved, everything that the Lord has done has taken care of our sins. You know, we have a redemption, we have regeneration, we have the divine life in us, and we are now able to partake of the divine nature, and we have become priests. But the thing is, the rest of our life, you know, there is the matter of becoming an Ezra, a priestly scribe. We are priests, but we need that skillful function. And that skillful function of being a scribe requires us to be saturated with him, just like a brother Michael shared. I was really touched by that. You have to have the language of the God-man, and therefore the culture of the God-man, and the concepts and the values of the God-man.
Right.
That is what God is after. And that will become the church and the New Jerusalem and the bride, where we are fully purified of all the Babylonian things we bring. And we come from different cultures. Some of us are born in China, some from Taiwan, some from Mexico, Guatemala, whatever. So we bring our own culture with us to the church, to the Lord's recovery. And in Philippians, you know, we just heard over Memorial weekend, is to have this, to lose everything, to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And to have this rot into our being so that we are purified of all our Babylonian things and we are reconstituted. So I'm really touched, saints. I mean, this is so refreshing to see this, that not just salvation and redemption, but you need to go on. There's a race to run. And during that race, which is our whole life, our Christian life, we are being reconstituted.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
To see in Ezra how, aside from the Word of God, God's people have no real way to fully enter into God's thought and His intention that He desired to work out amongst them. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God was such a crucial element. But not only was the Word of God there, there had to be this person named Ezra. And so Ezra chapter 8, it mentions, says that men went to Ezra to receive insight on the Word of God. Amen. Means that this person did not only know the Word of God doctrinally, but he had insight into the inward significance and meaning and revelation in God's Word. Amen. And so we see, what was Ezra's function? Ezra was faithful to do one thing, which is to speak and to teach the content of the Word of God in the way of revelation. And so it was this speaking and this unveiling of the Word of God that was able to cause this effect in God's people. Because he was such a person who possessed insight into the Word of God, his speaking was able to reconstitute God's people with the Word of God. How do we know that? Well, you see the reaction of the people. What happened after he went up to speak the Word of God faithfully, to speak, to read from God's Word? What was the reaction of the people? they fell down in mourning and in great grief, meaning that that speaking brought shining to them.
Right.
His speaking brought light that unveiled their condition,
right.
that caused them to see, I do not match this vision.
That's right.
And that speaking, which was according to the insight in God's word, produced something amongst God's people. Mm-hmm. And so now we, in the New Testament age, in principle, are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate, it's in the outline, Ephesians chapter 3. It's where Paul says, that by revelation, the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief. He says, even as by reading it, he said, by reading it, what I have written to you previously, by reading it, you may perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. That is tremendously profound. That means that Paul also said it was given to me to complete the Word of God. It means that his writing was the Word of God. He said that by reading what I have written to you, you will perceive what I have understood in the mystery of Christ. That means that when we get into this written Word, we are not just learning doctrines and teachings concerning morality or any other thing. But when we get into this written word in a thorough way, we enter into that perception, that understanding of the mystery of Christ concerning God's heart, His intention. And so therefore, God desires how strongly that we would enter into this word, that we will be constituted with this vision, that we would live in this vision, and that we would do this one thing, which is to come to the church and speak this vision. So that corporately, as God's people, we will be constituted, reconstituted, and be brought into that reality.
Amen.
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 I really enjoyed today's meeting. I think Jerry mentioned about, and all the brothers and sisters mentioned about this priestly scribe. I also feel that I remember when I heard the message, I was like, what is this? But then later on, I realized that it's really helpful, because I think that the message, it says that the truth has two aspects, right? So the objective aspect and the subjective aspect. So I think that, actually, if we look at the Bible, Ezra wrote three books. First and Second Chronicles, I don't know if you have this experience.
Amen.
It was like, this takes forever. I often ask the Lord, every time I read the Bible, I say that, why do I need to learn this? All these names, all these like family history, like family trees, and then all this stuff. But I think that this week I realized that actually the Lord wants us to learn this person. So you see that this person was so detail-oriented. And he was full of God's view and God's heart's desire. So you see each name, actually, those names are on God's heart. If we use that way to read the Bible, then we are actually full of appreciation. And every time I read it, I said, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to get? Because I think that we are not here to just learn about history, and we are not here just to learn about the textbook. So I really feel that Ezra is an example to us. And I was very touched by Tyler sharing about gain insight into the words of the law or God's word. Actually, I think that in our profession, last year, one of the physicians, he told me that my lecture material is not good enough, so students complain. So he helped me to write from the beginning to the end a 30 minutes presentation. Do you know how much time we spent? 1 year. One year, because I'm not a clinician, so he had to teach me how to, you know, how to learn the medical language. And I think that sometimes I think we come to the Lord's word, I think we just don't have that appreciation. We just don't think that it deserves our time. But I think that, you know, if we spend that much time in our profession, I really think that we need to spend much, much more time in God's word. But then more than that, I think, you know, I have to say that before this lecture, I actually used 5 years. The first year, the first time, it was pretty, you know, time consuming. I spent like 15 hours preparing for it. But every year, I taught 8 times. And 5 years, I spoke 40 times. And I actually don't need to, you know, add new material. I actually just, you know, repeat and repeat and repeat. And then finally, I tell myself, I got it. Probably I can be a clinician, you know. So I really feel that, you know, for God's word, we really need to spend the time. And I also appreciate brothers and sisters sharing about, you know, we really need to exercise our spirit. I think that exercise our soul is not that easy. But then exercise our spirit, I think that is so important. And whenever we turn to the Lord, we can, you know, we can gain something, gain some feelings from the Lord. And then that's how we get inside the Lord of the Word.
Amen. Amen.
Very quick. I really appreciate how the three books in the Old Testament from Ezra, right? But do you know what does Ezra mean, the name of Ezra? Helper, God's helper, right? And how old? How many years he was there? He was born in Babylon, right? Before Christ, it will be like 480. He died 440. How old was he when he died? 40 years old? He wrote the three books around 458 or 60. It's about in the middle of his whole life, about 20 years old, something. I just feel like recently I experienced very bad, you know, memory, forget things. You cannot remember many things, you know, even just happened. But I need to, I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm at this age, but I want to gain the time, redeem Amen. My time on the Word of God. Look around, there are so many young ones, but very few of us at the age, you know what I mean. So be encouraged and encourage one another. Separate a certain time a day and dive into the Word of God and help one another and encourage one another. And today, all the truths and visions are revealed to us. Brother Nee has a message on who we are and mentioned about today's truth. And today, what's the today's truth? It's all there. We need to get into it. We constitute by all the truth, the ministry work. Amen. It's a grace upon grace. So let's encourage one another from our own family, other dear brothers and sisters our age. Eat the word. Amen. Be constituted and dispense that to others. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I'll end off with a brief sharing. I feel like these messages that we are covering in this book is of crucial importance. I hope that we all would really be able to pick up the crucial points in these messages,
Amen.
In these coming weeks and even the previous weeks, and then apply these points to our living. Right, it's not just for us to read about, but my prayer is that all of us would experience these things, right? Even this matter of Ezra being a priestly scribe, right? And then the need for Ezra. This is something that we can experience, that we can get into, that we can have for ourselves. And so, Yeah, I really feel like this is the crucial matter. This is something that the Lord is speaking to us today, and this is where the rubber meets the road, saints. If we don't pick up these points, if we just let them go by, these messages, you know, what will become of us? What will become of the Lord's recovery? And so with Israel, God's intention was that He would have a people on earth who would be His testimony. They would be not like the nations. They would not be common, but there would be people who would be expressing God. Amen. Right? And so for us, it's the same today. The Lord is after a people, and He is gaining a people, right, who would be His testimony on the earth today. And so we can learn. We can learn from the example of Ezra and even his ministry and what he did. Jerry brought out a verse, 1 Timothy 2:4. And that verse says, God desires all men to be saved.
Amen.
And to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Right? So we see there's two parts in that verse. Not only salvation, but the matter of coming to the full knowledge of the truth. It's not enough just to be saved. But God wants us to have a knowing of Him. Right? A full knowledge of the truth. And this knowledge, it's not objective knowledge, but rather it's a subjective knowledge, an experiential knowing. God does not want us to just know Him as a God who is far away from us, but He wants us to know Him personally, right? That we would experience Him as His people on earth. We would not be far from Him. He would be in us. He would be near to us, and we would be experiencing Him every day. Enjoying Him, living Him out. So this matter of knowledge, it's not in the objective sense, right? It's not just mere doctrine, but rather it's an experiential knowing. There's a verse in Ephesians where Paul says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth." Right? The truth actually is able to get into us, to be constituted into us, and to become a part of us, right? And this truth that we pick up is none other than a reality, the triune God Himself, experienced by us, and especially in our living. And so we need to have our loins girded up, right? We need to accumulate, right? We need to possess, take in these truths, experience them, so that they become a part of our living. We actually live out the truth, right? And in the beginning of that verse, he says, "Stand therefore." There's many things that will even test our constitution. It's possible that we may know scriptures merely in objective sense, but you know, there's things that test. How are we really that kind of person? You know, are we really constituted? We could know the Bible. We could be able to speak the word and present the word to others. But is that our reality? Has that been worked into us? This is my prayer that all of us would have our loins girded with truth. And then when we as we live our Christian life, we face the different situations, we would be able to stand therefore, right? We would be able to stand having our loins girded with truth. So just in our daily living, there, maybe you're on a job, there's so many temptations, right? From maybe your coworkers, so many worldly influences, right? That you face. What will keep you and preserve you? In those moments where you face or you stand, you face these tests and you stand against the attacks of the enemy. It's this truth. It's this constitution, this deposit of God's element in us that will cause us to stand. Right? Whether or not we are really constituted. We are really God-men expressing God in our living. Has a lot to do with the truth. And so may we be ones, even in our family living. You know, when the couples, you know, you may have some disagreements, and you know, it's not about who's right and who's wrong, right? Even in that way, the truth can prevail, and the truth can be lived out of us, right? Can we withstand the test? Maybe our spouse says something to us, and we get angry, and we flip, right? And we have an outburst of anger. You know, it's a sign we don't have enough constitution, right? We don't have enough of God's element. We haven't been filled with God enough. We need to have our loins girded with truth.
Amen.
So my burden this morning was not merely to be constituted with the Word of God and to be able to memorize the Scripture, you know, to be able to speak to others merely in an objective way, but even in an experiential way. I think even in the meetings of the church, when we share, when we stand up to speak the Word of God, we need to ask ourselves, are we just presenting the Word? Or, you know, are we just speaking according to the black and white letters? Or have we meditated on that Word? Have we experienced that Word? Do we have an experience of Christ as life that we can share with all the saints? If you remember with Ezra, he brought back all the gold, all the vessels, all the silver, right? Those signify the experiences of Christ that we need for the church life, right? So may our speaking not only be in the outward sense, but we would have Christ to minister to others, right? You know, Paul is another example of a priestly scribe. In the Old Testament, we have Ezra. New Testament, we have the Lord Jesus. We also have Paul, right? Paul, when you consider his experience in Acts 22, actually, Paul was a Jew, right? And he grew up in Judaism, and he was of the strictest sect. He learned the Word of God. He was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. And so he knew the scriptures,
right?
And so this knowledge of the scriptures actually, in a mere outward sense, without the Spirit, without the element of the Spirit, without the experiential knowledge of Christ, actually caused him to kill others, right? And so in 2 Corinthians, he can say, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So it's not enough just for us to know the Word in black and white letters. Actually, that same chapter, Acts 22, what you see is Paul, it's so clear that he did not know Christ. Because as he's recounting that, and having his conversion with the Lord, the first question that he asked the Lord is, who are you, Lord? So he was just ministering in an outward way. He was just ministering death. The black and white letters that literally killed people. And he arrested and killed people. We don't want to arrest and kill people in the church. Right? We want to be ministers of the Spirit. Right? And so, how can we be such persons? We need to have I'll end off soon. Sorry, I think I'm taking too long. We need to have a healthy habit of being in the Word. Brother Tom shared this acronym, PSRP, right? This P, and the first P that we use to, this acronym that we use in our study of the Word and our getting into the Word, this first P stands for prayer, right? We need to be ones. As we read the Word, we are praying the Word, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. Right? We need to breathe in the Scriptures. Not merely just come to read the Bible, but we need to pray. We need to be like Ezra. Contact God. Right? We would be filled with God. Right? We're priests. Right? We need to have a living of touching the Lord and praying. and even mixing our reading of the word with prayer. And then the second one, that prayer is actually a priestly aspect. And then the second one is study, P-S, the S in study, right? We have to buy truth. We have to set aside the time to get into the word week after week, day after day. However amount of time you have, you know, we can just give that to the Lord. Can't we, saints? One thing I like to do is just to just study, you know, get it, read the word, and just for 20 minutes. You can even set a timer. You know, how often would you read the word? How often would you study the word? But it's not just merely reading, but even in a deeper sense, to study the word. And then lastly, we can recite the word. That word that we have prayed over, that we have studied, and we recite it. We could speak it to make sure that it's gotten into us. You know, all these points in the outline, week by week, just take one point. Recite that point, speak it. Amen. Speak it over and over again until it gets into your being, until you get constituted. And then the last one is P, prophesying. You know, we just come to the meeting of the church, and we can speak Christ. We can minister Christ to one another. You can call someone, you know, and speak the word of God. You can speak the word of God to your coworkers, you know, to the young people. But these are all practical ways for us to be constituted with the truth. This is the need today, saints. We would all be God's testimony, right? Not merely just saved, but we would have an experiential knowing of the Lord. Amen. That we could present and minister to others.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll stop there.
Amen. Can I take 2 minutes? Where do you call this?
Actually, can we, I was wondering if we can sing. If we had time to sing the song in the back of the outline today. In 542.
Maybe we could just sing without the piano, because the other group, right, they're still prophesying.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe just sing. Okay.
Gracious of my Savior, so unsearchable in bliss, all the fullness of the Godhead I may now experience. Oh, the riches, all the riches Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable that measure in my full reality. Oh, the riches of my Savior, all embracing life and light, wisdom, power, healing, comfort, treasures rich of God's delight. Oh, the riches, all the riches Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable their measure, yet my full reality. God's redemption, full salvation, and His resurrection power, sanctifying, glorifying, all transcending every hour. Oh, the riches, oh, the riches Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable their measure, yet my full reality. My Savior, nothing less than God is all His person and possessions, now my spirit doth enthrall. Oh, the riches, all the riches Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable. words of my Savior, who can know their breadth and length, or their depth and height of measure, yet they are my joy and strength. Oh, the riches, all the riches, Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable their measure, yet my full reality. May I know these boundless riches, Christ's experience in full, and with others may I share them in their content bountiful. Oh, the riches, all the riches, Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable their measure, yet my full reality.
Ministry.
Amen.
To spend more time.
Amen.
Oh, to pray, read.
Amen.
To study.
Amen.
Oh, to retain.
Amen.
Or even the opportunities to speak.
Amen.
Give this week to you.
Amen.
Take the way of constitution.
Yes. Amen.
This into our being.
Amen.
Have a burden to speak and to teach.
Yes.
Lord, be constituting fully of your word.
Amen.
Lord, do not know it in a dead way.
Right.
Lord, have it as part of our subjective experience.
Right.
Lord, we be most fit to teach.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, give you this week.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, redeem our time, Lord.
Amen.
We can be in your word.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, follow the way of the Constitution.
Amen.
Yes, we need to be reconstituted.
Amen.
To be your people.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that we can truly express you.
Amen.
Your strong testimony.
Amen.
Thank you.